This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in your compassion, be with us in our great need. As you have fed the hungry 5,000, you continue to feed us in the Eucharist we celebrate. When we feel helpless in the face of our own need and the needs of those around us and throughout our world, help us to remember that young boy with his 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and know that you can work through us too to feed our world. Amen. Good morning. First of all, for those of you who either haven't heard or have heard and are praying, Rev. Wendy's son, Andrew Tobias, whom many of you know, suffered a grand mal seizure on Thursday. He was in the hospital in Jacksonville for a few days, and they did all kinds of tests. He is responding well to medication and is now home. So Rev. Wendy and Andrew's fiancée, Alyssa, took a deep breath on Saturday, and one hopes they are all getting a little rest today. Rev. Wendy will probably be back tomorrow. And the second thing is that Father Marty is, of course, with our pilgrims. You see the footprints on the floor. And they left at 4:30 in the morning on Friday morning. He sent me a text Thursday night saying, "We're leaving at 4:30. You going to come and say goodbye?" And I texted him back and said, "Very doubtful." And I was not here at 4:30 to say goodbye. But I have heard from him since, and they did get to New York in good time, and they were seeing some of the tourist sites there. The weather wasn't good, as it wasn't good here. It was raining, and so their flight to Scotland was delayed. But I'm sure they're in Scotland by now. And if you want to follow their trip, which is worth doing, you can get the... Now, of course, I don't know any of this tech stuff, but if you go to our website, the St. Joseph's website, there will be a prompt for you to hit. So you can get it. And he's very good about these blogs. He may even have one up today. Wouldn't be surprised. But that's why I'm here, much like Al Haig when Ron Reagan was shot that time, in full charge. So... I got a lot of notes from Wendy yesterday. Do this, don't forget that, do this. I said, "Wendy, I supply around this diocese. I walk into churches I've never been in before, and there's nobody there to tell me what to do, and somehow we get through it." "Oh, I know, I'm not saying, So she's very anxious to get back, as you can imagine. Please keep praying for Andrew. He has a doctor's appointment about a month, I think, for a follow-up. Current opinion says that this probably came from an accident he had when he was in college quite a while ago. So it's amazing how our brains work, you know? Okay, so now for the gospel. This is the first of a series of gospels on this story. Sometimes I think that with these miracles, we kind of overlook them because, first of all, we're so familiar with them that we think we already know the story. Or, in this post-Christian world, some people are so skeptical of miracles that they just skip right over them. But this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only story like this that is in all 4 Gospels. So obviously, the gospel writers thought it was important. There are very few things that are in all 4 gospels, and they ought to be paid attention to. This is one of those. So I'd like to look at it again a little more carefully, and maybe in a different way. Jesus and his disciples have been walking around the dusty roads all day, and he's been teaching and also healing people. Now it's getting towards evening, they're tired. He takes them up a mountain so they can rest and eat. But when he looks down, he sees that this huge crowd that's been following him has gotten even larger and is coming towards them. Now, what does he do? He doesn't do what maybe I would do or other people would do. He doesn't get exasperated and say, oh, can't they leave me alone for an hour? Or, I'm really tired tonight. Tell them to go home, come back tomorrow. Or whatever. No, he does not do that. Jesus looks at them with compassion, realizes that they are tired and hungry too. And so he says to Philip, where, not how, but where can we buy food for them to eat? And Philip says, oh, forget that. It would take 6 months' wages to buy enough food for these people to have even a little bit. And then Andrew pipes up with, well, there's a little boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that's not enough to feed this crowd. And the gospel says Jesus asked them this to test them because he knew what he was going to do. To test them. To see if they would rely on him. To see if there was a way. But just as often, we become so overwhelmed with our own needs and the needs of our country and the world that we feel paralyzed. We feel like, what can we do? What can I do? What can you do? We're only one person. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And Jesus knows what he can do with us in the building up of the kingdom on earth. So he takes the bread from the boy and the fish, and he blesses it and starts to give it out. And lo and behold, all 5,000 people have their fill of the food. Probably seconds. Some people take thirds. But they all have enough. Plenty. I wonder what the message is for us. Aside from the compassion of Jesus, which I think is good for us to keep in mind, he uses the generosity of a little boy who has his lunch with him to feed the crowd. I heard a sermon one time where the preacher said, perhaps the real miracle here is that once the loaves and fishes were begun to be shared, the people started taking out their own lunches and sharing them with the others around them who had none. Now, in a way, I think that might even be a greater miracle than Jesus blessing the bread and sending it out. But however it happened, the important thing is they all ate. They all had food. It doesn't matter. Everyone was fed. That was Jesus' teaching that day. Don't be discouraged. Don't become overwhelmed by what may seem to be impossible. Do what you can to make things better. I was at the John F. Kennedy Library this summer, and I picked up a mug that says, one person can make a difference, and everyone should try. One person can make a difference, and everyone should try. Two things got 5,000 people fed that day: the compassion of Jesus and a little boy's lunch. So what's the message for us in this story? When we, each one of us, refuse to be paralyzed or overwhelmed with the immensity of our own needs or the needs of our world, but instead share in the compassion of Christ, realizing that we are called to use our own gifts and talents, our loaves and fishes, to build up the reign of God in our time, to share with Jesus the work of God. We participate in the miracle of God's desire for peace and justice upon the earth. I want to change just one word here. One person can make a difference, and everyone is called to try. If each of us in our own way take out our loaves and fishes and begin to share them with our neighbors, we participate in the compassion of Christ and the building up of God's reign on earth. Amen.